Pod Moth.
Hello!
Welcome to BSP Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast where two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we're an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast, and we are proud members of the Podmoth Network.
Of a podcast.
Yes. The Podmoth Network.
Yay. And this is a mini-sode.
Yes, it is.
So we will bring you a full topic every other week where we have fun information, stories, all things weird. And in the interim weeks, we have this mini-sode where we each share one story a piece. And it teases the upcoming topic. So we see if you can guess next week's topic from these two stories. Mine is impossible. I'm saying it right now.
Okay.
Is yours?
Mine is hidden within the story, but I don't think you'll be able to make the connection.
Oh, because you know sometimes like their stories are more obvious. I was actually kind of hoping for this one that yours might be more obvious.
No, you'll understand when I get to that part of my story what I mean by that.
Oh, so. For mine, you'll understand. Why? Next episode, whenever I actually explain it, because whenever I do this story, it's literally, I mean, if you, once you know, you might be able to make a connection, but
did you say literally?
I did. Versus, oh, literally?
I say literally. So.
Oh, literally.
You said literally.
Well, you know, I sometimes say light rally just for fun.
Oh, it's shut L-I-T-E. Up.
Yeah, because.
Lite rally.
Light rally.
Lite rally.
Lite rally. Well, as an author, it's weird. As an author, you're never supposed to use that word. Because.
Literally.
Yeah, because it's a given that it's. That it's literally there or it's not. So you shouldn't have to say
because
literally.
Because you never say metaphorically.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's kind of the same principle. But so I say light rally.
Okay. Literally.
Right. Literally. So lita rally. Right. Who wants to go first?
I've been going first the last few weeks.
You did? Oh, okay.
I think so.
I have no idea. I think I'm doing drinks first, and that's what I'm thinking about.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay.
So, we're not even on that
yet. I know. We're not yet. That'll be later. So I'm going to be talking to you about the mummy cat.
Oh, and this okay. I have one in my room.
What?
If it's in my bedroom.
Oh.
If it's the same thing we're talking about, the cat.
Oh, that's a Maneki Neko.
Oh, okay.
The little like Asian.
But they're
one
also
thing.
Called money cats.
Oh, this is a mummy.
Oh,
cat.
Mummy.
Literal,
I thought you said money. I thought you said money.
I was like, wait, this is a mummy cat.
Oh no, because Liz brought me a money cat.
Money
from Japan.
Cat. Yeah, the Maneki Nekos. Those are great. Now this is a mummy cat. This story is a little bit little. So I'm bringing this to you from livescience.com. Look at me doing my references. So ancient Egyptian cat mummies aren't uncommon, and archaeologists have previously found, and I love this, it says tens of cat mummies and burials. And I had to reread that because usually when you're touting numbers, you're like hundreds of thousands, but it just says tens of them. So not that many, but they're still there. But in ancient Egypt, and I think a lot of people know this, but pets were commonly buried with their owners. The desire to preserve animals as offerings to the gods led to the establishment of an entire industry and the mummification of over 70 million animals, according to a previous report. So there's that kind of thing where it's that, what I just said, but also about kind of taking your pets with you into the afterlife, right? Well, this is a recent article where a group of researchers recently analyzed a 2,500-year-old Egyptian cat mummy that was part of a collection at the Museum of Fine Arts in France. They performed a computerized tomography scan, a type of X-ray, to illuminate what was inside the mummy without unwrapping it. And then they created a 3D digital kind of blueprint, like a recreation of it.
This is,
and y'all,
there's just some synchronicity. I literally posted a meme in our private group not too long ago about mummy cats.
Oh, that's
wonderful. Or Egyptian cats.
I was going to say maybe that's what spawned this, but it was all my research. I came across
I just posted it like an hour ago.
Oh, did you really?
So that's just total synchronicity.
Oh, that's super weird. Wow, yeah. What a coincidence. Go listen to the Quinky Dinks episode.
Or come join our private group so you know what meme I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That works too. So, y'all, they did this scan of this cat, this mummy cat, and now this shit's crazy. It's so weird. So the scan has some surprises. Instead of the cat's head, the mummy held a ball of fabric. So no head, a ball of fabric.
Okay.
It was missing its skull, vertebrae, and ribs, and instead held five hind leg bones from three different cats. Yeah, the bones were decomposed and riddled with holes created by corpse-eating insects, said Theophany Nicolas, a researcher who was a part of the project. Yeah, so I'm like, what the fuck? So instead of it's this, and this thing is shaped like a cat.
So this,
but
is
it doesn't
like,
hold a cat.
Yeah.
So cat mummies have been found in very large quantities, sometimes in extremely degraded states and reduced to this state of just an accumulation of bones. But sometimes what you see on the outside is not what you get on the inside, he said. While some animal mummies are complete, others are like this. What's more, because there were larger mummies preserved as offerings for gods, if they sold for more money. Mm-hmm. So basically, the bigger the mummy, the you know you would be see that as an offering, the more that you would make. So
like a tiger mummy?
Yeah. So... It's like an elephant mummy. You didn't even have one. And you just wheel it into the coffin. But many mummies were made to appear larger than the animals themselves. So if you think about that...
Well, it would have to be.
Yeah. But can you imagine the business of being a mummification artist from back then?
A mummifier?
A mummifier. Your job is to make an animal look as big as possible. But they found out that some of these mummies didn't contain remains at all. Instead, they were filled with
pinata.
Leather, gravel,
candy,
condoms just like pour out of it. So there's a thing too about like, well, why was it filled with all this weird crap? Like, is this some kind of paranormal ritual or something? Like, what's going on here? And it's actually unclear why there were the remains of three cat's hind legs in this one cat and no head and stuff. But some researchers actually believe that it was part of an ancient scam organized by unscrupulous priests way back then. So there were even unscrupulous priests back in ancient Egypt.
Surprise.
Yeah, so priests could have resorted to less elaborate preparations, impossible to detect by sight, because this is all inside, for these rituals, which gradually led to mummies whose cat shape represents a visible reality beyond the content.
Like, that's like... Let's bring it to modern times. That's like a crematorium giving you like animal ashes instead of your loved
ones. Remain. That's exactly what it is, for money.
Yeah.
Right? So, but it also makes me wonder, well, where did the real cat parts go? Like, what are they doing with them? That's how they're saving the money, is they're eating all the edible stuff. So, yeah. Well, the group of scientists then, now they've projected the internal 3D reconstruction onto a model of this mummy. This glowing object was presented last month in Sweden at the European Heritage Days. Yes, 2019. And will be on display for people to view at the Museum of Fine Arts in France. So everyone go check it out. See the weirdness that is this mummified cat. Again, the tie to the real topic is loose, like these mummy cats, wrappings or whatever. But there is a definite thing, and I will clarify next week.
And I think I got it based on what our topic is, but we'll talk about that off mic.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So for my story today, I am telling a story that I got from the website psychic-experiences.com. And our topic is not psychic experiences, just to let you know.
Oh, good. Okay, good. At least a little hint.
Yeah. This comes from an entry from 2011, told from the writer's perspective. She says, I'm an 18-year-old girl, and ever since I was young, I've had visions in my sleep. They're never full-out visions. They are merely pictures. They are incredibly vivid and absolutely perfect images of what is to come. I still remember the very first one I ever had. It was of a woman surrounded by three kids and another woman, and she was pushing a stroller under an overpass. She was an overweight woman and was wearing a powder blue shirt with dark blue sweatpants, and one of the children was wearing a hot pink jacket.
Wow, that's some detailed dreaming.
Yeah. The details are getting less pronounced as I grow older, but I had that, quote, vision experience when I was about 8 years old.
Wow, so when she had it, she could actually like name the name brands. She's like, okay, this is
Gucci.
This is Keds.
Not too long ago, I started feeling those things in my room before I go. I started feeling these things in my room before I go to sleep. They're really menacing energies, and they terrify me. If I tell them to go away, they mess with me. They'll disappear and reappear behind me and blow on my neck.
Ew.
And when I say it again, they come up on my right side and breathe hot breath on my ear.
Oh my God.
My visions have completely stopped for quite a while now, and I'm 99% sure it's because I'm blocking my abilities because of my terror.
I wonder how she's doing that.
Yeah, I've talked to someone who has limited experience with these kind of things, and she showed me how to ground myself and what not and bought me a quartz necklace for protection. I have been wearing that necklace quite often, and I sleep with it under my pillow every night for a sense of protection. I have also been experimenting with shields, specifically envisioning a safe, turning the dials and putting it in a code. With all of this protection, the menacing black shadows have stopped for the time being, but I now cannot shake the feeling that I'm being watched. I could go on and on with the activity that has been surrounding me in the past year or so. So far, I have not been hurt or attacked, but only bullied and frightened, such as the blowing on my neck, breathing on my ear, etc., as mentioned before. I do not know if it is going to get worse or better, but I am reaching out desperately to find the help I may need. I have also seen an old man standing out in the field in my house while I walk before. But that was quite a while ago, probably a year ago, so when I first saw him. That's one thing that you must understand, though. When I say saw, I don't mean saw in the sense that you and I would see a banana on the counter. It was a strange thing. I felt like I was being watched, so I turned and there was a black shadowy mass in the field, a several hundred feet away.
So it's like the banana's watching you.
Yes. It was just watching me.
Oh, okay.
I don't actually see the person, but I can feel the energy with a great amount of precision. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I suppose it then kind of changes it into a shape in the front of my mind, the back of my eyes, I guess. And while I know I'm not actually seeing it, I see it. It's there in my thoughts just as a regular everyday image would compute. Other occurrences include lights flickering when I walk into a room, a freezing sensation on half of my body while the other half is moderate temperature, a voice whispering, hey, hey, you wish, and chuckling darkling as I talked about possible demonic phenomena to my long distance friend on the phone.
What? So the voice is like, you. It's like butthead.
It's like mocking her.
You wish.
And most recently, a black powdery substance showing up on my choir dress at a concert in the shape of a demonic hand. This is still not even covering all of it, although it is most of it. Help if you can. Considering this entry is from 10 years ago, I hope the writer got the help that she needed.
Wow. Did you look at any of the responses or anything?
There wasn't any on that specific story.
Oh, no. Oh, poor thing. Yeah, I hope that whatever she's dealing with, she's okay. Yeah. I mean, some of it doesn't sound so bad. Like if I felt like a hot breath, I would be like, lower.
Ew. Not lower. Not if you're not expecting it. Like I would want that person to be there or that. Thing.
Wow, that's, you know, like I was reminded of like four or five different episodes during your story because I was thinking about
SLI, the sliders, you know,
sleep paralysis, the man in the fields, whenever you read that.
To get to the full episode, I have like four different references to back episodes.
Oh, so speaking of our next episode, so I can see the tie-in to this.
Besides the fact that I stared at you when I got to the part that makes the most sense.
Okay, if you go back and listen, he kind of did a little laugh sound. Like, huh?
Oh, I
like,
laughed throughout, so you won't.
Yeah, that's going to be hard. But if you're really dedicated into finding the next episode.
Or bored.
Or bored, yeah. Or super bored. Go listen to that. Yeah, I think, I mean, this is a tough one. I feel like if anyone gets this, maybe we'll send them like some stickers or something. Yeah. So make your guesses.
And also before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out to Jeremy at Podcast We Listen To. We interviewed with him a couple of weeks ago and that episode came out on Thursday, I believe. So if you want to hear an interview by Jeremy on us and just hear a little bit more about us, go to Podcast We Listen To.
Yeah, that's awesome. We had a great time.
Yeah.
And really, really cool guy. Great podcast. So that's awesome. Well, then, so tune in next week, though. See if your guesses are correct for the topic. And bye.